The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Well, I am delighted to be joined now by Ciara Gilroy from Off The Ball and Today FM's Alison Curtis. This is Winners and Sinners. Happy Friday.
Yeah.
To you both. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy
to you
Halloween.
Both. Let's start with your winner, Alison.
Okay. So I don't know if either of you spotted this, but it was over the last 24 hours, Billie Eilish. And she was, everybody knows her, singer, you know, all around. Good egg.
She can kind of do no wrong in my eyes, to be honest.
She's just incredible. Did you see her when she, has she been here? She's been here this summer. You didn't see her, did you? No, we didn't get tickets to that either. But she was being honored at the Wall Street Journal Annual Awards, and she was given a Music Innovators Award, and she basically, did you see this?
No.
So she was in front of Mark Zuckerberg and a lot of other people with a lot of money, and she called them out, and she said, basically, thanks for this award, but why, if you're billionaires, why are you billionaires? And if you are, maybe you should give some of your money away to people who need it. Because she was donating $11.5 million from her tour to various charities.
And that was the thing about it. She was putting her money where her mouth was.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So it kind of gave what she was saying credibility.
And she called them all shorties for some reason.
Yeah. Which I didn't, I thought, okay, you're kind of putting a difficult question to them and then you're insulting them. Maybe not such a good idea.
She did such a great job.
But she said it in a really sort of loose, casual way. Like, this is just a very simple question.
Yeah.
If you are a billionaire, why?
Yeah. And why not do good with your money? So hers are going to various kind of food charities and environmental causes. But like 11.5, that's decent enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize she was that rich. Like,
yeah, either did I, that she'd have 11.5 million to spare.
Like that tour that she just finished pulled in quite a bit as well. So yeah. No, she's pretty, she's big business.
That rise has been meteoric though, right? She used to do small stuff.
Bad Guys was like, what was that, 2000? I shouldn't say. 2019 maybe?
Okay, so it's...
She was so young. Like she was 17 or something when that came out. So yeah, she's been around for a little while.
She has the performance that I absolutely loved. And I actually went down a complete rabbit hole last night looking up Billie Eilish performances after seeing that clip on Instagram. Was the one at the Oscars.
Yeah.
Where she sang the soundtrack of the Barbie movie.
Yes, yeah.
That is an incredible performance.
So maybe she is.
She's just cool.
Being a billionaire herself, is it? Are we?
Yeah, I mean, but like also all the royalties from all the songs, but like she and obviously her brother Phineas write and own all of that.
Right.
So yeah. No, she's pretty.
But it's pretty rare for somebody that wealthy and that famous to directly call out other people
in front of you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who are that wealthy and that famous in, you know, directly to their face. How do you think they'll respond?
I don't think they'll do anything. George Lucas was there as well. I don't know. I don't think they will do anything. I mean, we don't know what sort of philanthropy they do. I mean, I'm sure they do some donations, but I think it's the whole juxtaposition of like a young woman speaking to like older men who are much wealthier than her and just putting it to them on such a public platform to go donate some of your cash, lads.
I suppose it raises a bigger question, Jer, which is whether or not these super, super, super wealthy people have obligations to society.
Maybe our tax system should just tax them properly and we wouldn't need to rely on their benevolence. Wouldn't that be a better way of dealing with this? The whole idea of like that American philanthropy, it's kind of bogus, right? It's like, I know better than you, the country, how to spend this money on roads and hospitals and teachers and nurses and cars and or vehicles for, cops. So I'm not going to pay my tax.
Yeah.
And I'm going to set up a foundation in my name to glorify me and my family for generations to come. That's what the history of American philanthropy is, really. It's like...
So what you're saying is we don't really need philanthropy. What you need is actually a whole systemic change here.
Well, just a tax system that works.
Yeah.
A fit-for-purpose tax system. That makes it sound like it's some kind of communism, but like, no, just pay normal taxes. Let's not create heroes of the accountants and actuarial people who find ways to siphon off.
And I imagine she'll continue with that. Like, I imagine she will definitely continue to make donations along those lines.
Do you find the wealth of those individuals vulgar?
It's just bizarre. I kind of do. And I often kind of think about, like, if they did make sizable, like the contribution that they could make could actually completely overhaul countries' economies and things like that. Like, it's just, it is a bit insane.
But is the point not that you're, if you did, let's say, if America did introduce a tax system, just tax the hell out of these people, you know, it's a big, huge world.
Mm.
And you mentioned the those who work in tax, they just move their wealth elsewhere.
Yeah, but like, I mean...
You're talking about a whole global change.
They move it to here, right? we would help them. We would happily take their, for like 1% of that, which is essentially how a lot of our economy has been built over the last 30 years. So you do need to be... there are companies that get massively successful, and that's okay. But
you're comfortable with that.
It's just a fairness, right? There just needs to be some level of pay your way. Like, the other thing is, will anything happen? No. These guys are inspired by Iron Man and, you know, all sorts of weird fringe conspiracy theories about the future of the world.
Of course.
They're building bunkers on islands in Hawaii where they're going to be able to escape to when Armageddon comes. Like,
knock yourself out.
You know, I don't.
I have a bunker.
Away you go. Let's move on to something a little bit lighter, because as I said, it is October 31st. It is Halloween. It is one of my favourite seasons.
What a segue.
It's the best day of the year. It's great.
It's the best day of
best
the year.
Best day of the year.
So you're saying this trumps Christmas, this trumps
Easter.
I've always
been a Halloween girl, but that's largely because tomorrow is my birthday. So
happy birthday
when
in advance.
When we were growing up, I have a twin, so the two of us were able to eat as much crap as we wanted for 2 days solid. And it was always like parties. And we've talked about this before on the show, but Halloween in North America would be very much like a kind of a family thing. Like, it would be a little bit less. I know certain people when I moved here of a certain vintage had an antisocial association with it, but I think it's changed now. I think it's very family.
You're going all in, Jer. You're...
Well, like the last few years of trick-or-treating. Because for whatever reason, COVID happened. We were away 1 year as well.
Mm.
Like, one of our trick-or-treating was like the kids, we would hide in rooms around the house and they would go around. It was so grim that COVID Halloween. And so there's been few enough opportunities. Then 1 year I didn't go, I stayed at home and did it. But then last year I went out, and it's class.
It's fun.
It's absolutely class. Like, Marino is in Fuego. Some people go absolutely all out. It's just very random. And last year I went as Albert Einstein. I had the hair for it. It worked really well. A white coat. It was really easy.
So what is it this year, Jer?
I'm going as Beetlejuice.
Oh, that's good.
The hair strikes again.
Sorry, that was my alternative. I'm actually going as Joker. So that's why, sorry, that was my original
plan. You've got
plan.
Two options. That's
I did,
good.
I did have two options, but I narrowed it down. It was like,
are we talking costume you bought on Amazon a few weeks ago?
100%, yeah.
Okay. None of this homemade stuff.
No, I'm on my way to get my white face paint. Dyeing the hair green, whole nine yards.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You better get on socials later with all that.
I'm definitely trying to retreat from that world a little bit, I think.
Do you believe in the supernatural?
I feel like we can't be arrogant enough to think that we have explained everything around us, but I would lean more towards, I like science-based facts. But do you? You do.
I do a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I mean, yes.
Oh.
Saw a ghost when I was about 13. With a load of other kids, my siblings, who I'm now calling out on national radio. But I know you did, kids, so I know you won't mind.
Tell us the story.
So we were leaving a hall, right, late at night in October, or November, let's say it was.
Had you broken in?
No, we were rehearsing. We were in this theatre group called the Rainbow Theatre, and it was in the convent hall, beside the convent.
All right, a lot of ghosts
which is
there.
On the same grounds as the cathedral in Letterkenny. And when we emerged, I was trying to rush, I remember, to get everybody into the car because the Party of Five finale was on. It was a series, brilliant series. And I was trying to rush everybody in. And the other kids, my siblings and my cousins and neighbours, we were all travelling home together, started shouting about this figure that they could see up at the top of the steeple. And I was like, you know, being a 13-year-old or whatever, I was 14, going, I don't care, like, come on quickly, I'm missing this programme. And I looked up. And I saw it.
Wow.
I saw it so
clearly.
So clearly. Yeah, I really did.
I've never seen anything.
Two adults with us and they couldn't see it. And I was 14 and I was a pretty mature 14-year-old.
Right.
But I do.
Yeah, so then, I mean, that would make you believe. Do you believe?
Too much football special that afternoon. Is that what happened? No, I don't believe in any of that stuff.
At all?
No,
cheer.
Come on. What are you talking about?
We don't necessarily know.
No, we don't know, but we do know. We do know. We do know. There's nothing. I mean, I do believe that energy cannot be destroyed. It can only be transformed from one form to another. So maybe there's something in that.
And what, when it's transforming, where is it?
Yeah.
Floating about the top of the steeple.
Yeah.
It's in a blue dress with black eyes.
Did they find out what that weird floating light was across Ireland? Did you see your socials? They did find out what it was. It was definitely not Russians or no.
Is this recently?
Oh,
this
week? It was the last couple of days.
Yeah, Carla Weatherman and a few others were like, what the hell is this thing? It looked ill.
What did they say it was coming from a rocket? Elon Musk, my producer, is shouting to me. Okay,
that's a SpaceX thing, right?
This conversation is taking a turn. That's not what I heard. It was a ghost. It was the UFO.
It was
something else. Do you find Halloween stressful at all? Like from a creative point of view? Because I got a bit stressed this morning sending the kids out.
Oh, did you? No, yeah, sorry.
I'm kind of... Right. Yeah,
I'm out of that zone in that, like, my daughter's not dressing up as anything that's other than suiting her own taste. But you guys, I'm going to brag right now. I am an excellent pumpkin carver. And I was a little bit late this year in doing mine. But I've done some really, like, really, really good ones. So that's where I'm creative in that.
You use
respect.
The drill, right?
No, well, I have done that. But no, I did a freestyle last night.
Right, okay. With a knife.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm quite good at it, guys.
Get it up on your Instagram. We will be checking it out. To come to you, Alison, your sinner this week. And I'm glad you've called this out.
Yeah. Kira, I don't know how old your children are. They're younger, aren't they, though?
4 and 6.
Yeah, so they are not faced with this right now. But I did let my daughter join TikTok about a year and a half ago. I have to say she's still much more on Snapchat, but we all know that everyone, and adults included as well, and that's probably why you're taking a step back, Jer, on social media, but our attention spans are shocking. Like, we can't watch matches without our phone in our hand. We can't watch anything without, I'll be like, I gotta Google that actor. How do I know them from? What movie were they in? And all that stuff. But they now have done like a pretty in-depth study on TikTok, and it shows that the parts of our brain that obviously, this will come as no surprise, that need the hits are being inflamed almost in our heads through the use of social media, because we're just constantly, so the percentage of people that were on it for a certain number of hours a day are like 43% less likely to have any attention span for anything anymore. So they've done a deep research into the actual effects of scrolling effectively. I'm very bad with
Doom
Instagram.
Doom scrolling is actually changing the structure of our brains.
Yeah. Like, my attention span is, like, when I was in my 20s and even, like, into my 30s, I'd be like, a good book is great. And now I'm like, oh, God, this book is so slow and boring. I have to go, I'll just grab my phone again. So I'm guilty of it as well. But it's really scary when it's the actual percentages of the facts are put in front of you now.
Well, it's really scary because the people who probably are most addicted at this point are the teens, and their brains are actually still trying to develop at
that point. Exactly, yeah, yeah. How do you feel about yours jumping onto it when they're old enough, or what do you think?
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would happily live in a world without social media. Really, really would. I've never fully embraced it, and I actually don't like the amount of time I spend on it.
Yeah.
You know, I see it as a real failure of my character.
I do too.
That, like, I can't be more disciplined around it.
It's not a failure of your character. You are totally addicted to it because we were given this thing, like heroin to somebody who's never had it before, and it's like, this is amazing. This
is incredible. I've never felt better.
And we experienced this for 15 years at this point.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, that's bad for you. That thing that made you feel good at the start, that now,
that dopamine hit that you now crave,
that now gives you nothing but emptiness and dread and fear. That's actually bad for you.
Yeah.
So what social have you got, Jer?
Well, everything.
Do you have TikTok?
I deleted the app.
Okay.
I do need to check it for work from time to time.
I've never been on, like, I don't have it.
No,
and
it's not coming on my phone.
I don't think I'm going to go for it.
You can't. It is like heroin.
Yeah.
You won't be able to get off it.
Yeah. I am
more
addicted to Instagram, though, but I'm just looking up nice recipes, quinoa recipes, and like get a doom scrolling on the health thing going, if you do this, it probably means that. And I'm like, oh my God, I have a heart condition.
I am one of these people who's lying on the couch looking at, you know, how to get fit in your 40s. I'm like, oh, that is an excellent exercise.
Great
idea, God.
Yeah.
Oh, look at her beautiful biceps.
Save that.
Save that.
Same.
Is there any way that you can be on social media and do it mindfully, do you think, Jer?
I don't know, but I think there are some stats coming out that the teens are rejecting it, that there's like that the age groups after us are, just to bundle us all in there together, are saying, oh, they don't like the way that this is resulting in people being angry all the time. So is there any way of being mindful? Maybe if you locked your phone and you did all that stuff, but like...
You physically have to remove it from your reach, I think. And I did do that for a little while ago on a Monday, because I'm on Saturday, Sundays. On a Monday, I put it into a drawer for like a good chunk of the day. And I definitely was way more relaxed. Definitely.
Yeah. I feel it in my mood when I've spent too much time on my phone. I can feel it really quickly. And I think, put that thing away. I don't want to be like absolutely doom all social media, right? I think there's got to be some positives out there.
Well, I think
as you say, lovely recipes. I do love looking at home interiors.
But I think
it has made some kind of complicated things more accessible for people.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
There's loads of great stuff about it.
There
like,
is.
And communities have found each other in good ways, and as we see from the riots, in really horrific ways.
Yeah.
Be warned.
Yeah.
The research, as you say, is now out there.
Yeah.
And it is actually rotting our brains. So let's try and limit it. Okay, your sinner this week, and we were talking about it a little earlier in the programme, Jer, Andrew Windsor.
Yes.
Andrew Windsor Mountbatten, and I give him his full name.
Speaking of
name.
Rotten brains. I'm not following the nuts and bolts of the story, but like, how the hell is it that like the people meeting out justice are his family?
Yeah.
They're the ones like, hey, we think this is a really bad thing that you've done that you deny.
And taking your title.
It just seems really strange that they've reached a point where it's so egregious that they're removing their protection and renaming him, but that the cops are like looking on going, yeah, we see what you're doing there. That's interesting. I don't really fully understand why. It feels a little bit like when the Catholic Church scandals happened and the church would be like, oh, we're going to deal with this. Don't worry about it. We've dealt with this. It's okay. Nothing to see here. I'm like, this is just the same. It's like...
But is it jurisdiction that they have that, like, as in only he can strip him of his titles? And that obviously from...
Well, it's actually an act of parliament that'll have to strip him of the prince titles.
Right.
So that debate in parliament is going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks. And that's going to be really interesting because I think everything about Prince Andrew,
we'll get
his wife,
the record.
Fergie, is all going to now be put into the record by those anti-monarchists or those who just have concerns about how he's been allowed to live his life.
Yeah.
To go to the cops thing, in fairness, the cops, the UK cops have looked into this. I mean, they did investigate that civil case in America against him that he settled. And they have said, look, we don't see a reason, I suppose, we don't see the evidential bar being reached here to go any further. Now, what I think they are also looking at, which is really interesting, is whether or not he used those who were giving him protection, the cops, to try and dig up dirt.
Yeah.
On Virginia Giuffre, and that is going to be extremely troublesome.
It's a real getting Al Capone on tax stuff, though, in that, like, you know, the bit where you were involved in with this guy who's one of the most evil people, it seems, in modern society. I hadn't watched the Emily Maitlis Newsnight interview properly. I was 15 minutes into it there before we started doing here. It's incredible.
It's like, incredible.
I went to his house to break up with him and stayed there for 4 days.
Ugh.
And it was like, but,
and I liked him because actually he was a really good guy and he was really well connected.
Great parties.
Yeah, I'll never forget.
Great parties. Great guests at the parties.
I'll never forget watching that interview live. I remember ringing my mum actually after 5 minutes and saying, Mum, you need to watch this.
I haven't seen this.
Is going to be explosive, because he was really arrogant in it and he showed zero empathy with the victims.
When you know now everything that's come since, it is kind of right. It's totally worth it. It's 45 minutes and it's on YouTube. But so I have paid no attention really. I didn't watch that at the time. But there's just a bang of... don't worry, we've got this off the... We're going to do... And you're like, that's not really how justice is supposed to work. It seems like it's rich people's justice at the moment. And maybe it'll go a bit further now. Maybe there is a way in. And maybe what has to happen is they remove his protections and then all of a sudden he's cast loose. And at that point then suddenly the cops begin to gather some cojones and actually try and prosecute. Even if the prosecution fails.
What he's been accused of, that it's... Like that it's taken this long and that, you know, other people in the royal family have been treated the same way for having an argument, basically. Like, it's crazy.
And the punishment is like, you can't have your title and maybe we'll take your personal chef and you can't live in that mansion, but they'll be somewhere else. Don't worry.
Yeah, like, you'll be fine.
I suppose one of the other real difficulties with all of the incidents that Jeffrey Epstein was involved in is that there's so many other individuals out there.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the identity of Prince Andrew, even though, look, he has never been charged. He has always pleaded his innocence in all of this. But there are so many other individuals out there who are still hiding, whose identities haven't been revealed and maybe never will.
Yeah. It's really terrifying. It's disgusting.
All right, let's take a quick break. We are going to come back with winners and sinners, the other things that have kept our panellists awake at night a little later.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff.
You're very welcome back. What else has piqued your interest this week, Alison?
Okay, so sometimes with teens, and this is ahead of you now, you'll have this dynamic of going, you're just arguing and you're like, ah, oh God, she doesn't, why is she not interested in anything? Why does she apply herself? This past week, we went to a very big furniture retailer and bought a desk. And we all know what it's like to put furniture together. Sometimes it leads to divorce and things like that. It's just really frustrating.
You don't even have to put the furniture together. Just walking in the store doors sometimes has led to some of the greatest arguments I've ever had. Me and my husband, the last time we went, I actually had to stop in the car park and say, right, now, before we go in here, we're making a pact.
Not to fight.
We are coming out of here as friends, okay? I know things get stressful after 10 minutes, particularly if you've got the two young kids with you.
I've seen Peaky Blinders. No fighting.
No fighting, okay? That is a challenge.
And it worked. But so, she wanted a desk, like, to upgrade the room. Like, it, you know, perhaps was a little kitty or whatever. So, and then we got home and I was like, I'm really, really tired. We've just got this new dog. All this stuff is happening. I'm just like, just can we put everything together tomorrow? I'll help you tomorrow. And she's like, no, I really want to do it tonight. And I was like, fine. And I was like, don't get in her way. And then I just heard, like, you know, unpackaging, banging, all this kind of stuff. And I was like, how's this going to go? It went great. She put it entirely together on her own. And I was so proud. And she just... stand out of her way is my lesson, actually. I learned to just do that. Like, go, okay, don't say no to these things. Let it happen and see what happens. And she did it. And she was so proud of herself.
And she was really proud of herself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, sometimes I think, I don't know, are you a helicopter parent, Jer?
I think you get better as you go along, but certainly would have made that mistake a bit at the start.
Yeah, like just not giving them more independence.
It's a huge thing.
Not saying knock yourself out, that actually that independence is really good for them.
I'm particularly bad because I have one. So I'm like, all my eggs are in one basket.
You have got to be a good one, Joan.
But she did it. And amazing. So that's my lesson. Stand out of her way.
Okay, so when she heads off to her Halloween party tonight, you're going to say, Joan,
I'll be like,
the world is your oyster.
In that little bush going, where are you guys going now? Don't eat those sweets.
And the rest. Okay, what else, Jerry's caught your eye this week?
The joy of swearing, right? So Sean Moncrief did a piece this week on swearing and the differences between cultures. It got reviewed in the Irish Times. I didn't actually hear the original piece, but McKinney was writing about it today. Surveying profanities across 17 countries, the guest, whose name was Simone Sulpizio, there are common characteristics. Everybody uses slurs and sexually related insults as well as distinctive traits. Blasphemy is only widespread in Italy. Thai and Chinese curses relate to families. Germans, they're the best. Thanks, because of the ability to compound words, you know, put all those words together and suddenly you've got astonishingly good ones. Moncrief suggests they're the best at swearing, much as the country we once was world champion in other spheres. The guest says, I don't know if they're the best ones at it, but they're the most productive. I do love a good swear.
Do you swear?
Yeah, too much.
I do
all the time.
And I didn't when I was in, when I lived in Canada.
We've infected you.
Yeah.
As and then the when Irish I go back, have taught you to swear.
Yeah. And when I went back, when, say, Joan was younger, I said, oh, I was like, oh, like crap. And my cousin's like, oh, really? You say that in front of her? And I was like, effing hell, I do. Like, come on. It's crap. It's the only word. So, yeah.
But now does she swear?
No.
No. Yeah. You see.
Just, I don't know what yours is like, but maybe she does with friends, but in front of me, she's like, can I swear when I tell you this story? I'm like, yeah, okay.
So do you have a problem with swearing, though? No. I still don't like it. I think maybe I'm a bit old-fashioned.
He's uncouth. It's classless.
I think there's worse things they could be doing, like buzz balls. So if she's swearing, that's fine.
I don't know what buzz balls are.
Booze.
All right.
You know, they're like little cans. Are they
in the shape of a ball.
All right, yeah.
Do you have a favourite swear word?
I obviously can't. So...
bleep, 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 bleep.
I think that the way we use certain swear words is different, and certainly... our North American pals would be like, you can't say that. That's like, you know, whereas it isn't the way we mean it.
We make it very flowery and colourful and entertaining.
Well, sometimes we sort of use swearing in this country as like, you know, it's a term of infection. Yeah, we use it as an exclamation point.
Exactly.
It's not really an insult.
But they know about it, like actually releasing positive hormones, like releasing, if you're in pain.
Sorry, if you're frustrated or in pain.
Yeah. Sometimes it totally releases,
but then you got to roar it out. Yeah. Then do you think we just use it a bit too frequently?
Yeah, but
like we litter it just through. You could be telling somebody about going to the shop and you've dropped a couple of F bombs.
Dropped a couple
full of F-bombs. And I'm just like, no, come on, be more careful with our language, and our use of language.
When your kids swear
for
the
rare,
first
Jer?
Time, the opposite of this, there was very few swear words, but now I do it all the time. And to my parents and to my kids, and my kids are definitely happy and they're excited about using it. I'm like, I've done my work here is finished. I'm
like, all right. Jer, put some of your pictures of your costume if you do end up Beetlejuice or the Joker or last year's.
We'll see. Last year's is on my Instagram, but my Instagram's private, so.
Okay, I'll follow you. You can follow me back. All right, Jer Gilroy and Alison Curtis, thanks for joining us. Well, that's it from us this evening on The Hard Shoulder. Hope you enjoy the night. Happy trick-or-treating. And I'll be back on Monday at 4 o'clock. Speak then.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.